than styrofoam egg cartons.
They'd probably be more comfortable than the one I'm sitting in right now.
Uh-oh, look
did
out.
Did you start yet?
Yeah. We did. What's up? What, no, what do you need?
I'm just gonna do a fire drill.
Oh, we can wait. We haven't done anything. We haven't done anything important.
We're just doing our intro, but you're cool.
Oh, you're practicing.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Well, not practicing. It's yes. Okay.
Yeah. Bobby Bobo.
Retake.
Retake.
Okay, we got you.
All right, we'll be back after this fire drill.
Sorry.
You're fine.
Okay.
Well, we're back from our fire drill.
We all survived.
We made it.
The
safely.
Building is alive.
Yes.
Standing.
Well, welcome back to the Beyond.
We opted not to leave the fire alarm in the podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hello, Patrick.
Yeah, so we are alive and well. I know our listeners were concerned for
absolutely.
That half second where we left the building. Came back. They don't know that, but because
we should put it like an ad in there, like a little ad
ooh,
break.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just like keep this the time we were away just in there as well.
Yeah, it
must
be
like
go.
4 minutes of silence. Will they return? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we did. Katie, how was Disney?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Like it was great.
The happiest place on earth, right?
The happiest place on most exhausting place as well.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably a few more exhausting places.
Okay.
Yeah, like
sure.
Ironman triathlon.
Sure.
Okay.
Like
sorry.
A chain gang.
And we were really tired by this.
Less
weekend.
Happy, too.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, you were really tired and had a really good time.
Yes.
All right, what were the highlights? Give us a couple highlights real quick.
So we went to Disneyland, and the day we got there was the first day of the new Star Wars ride, Rise of the Resistance.
I'm very jealous.
Which we did not make it into the queue on the first day.
Okay.
But the second day, we did.
Yes.
And we rode it.
I know. I got a text that day saying, we're in line for Rise of the Resistance. I was very mad, very jealous. I'm excited to make my way to one of the Disney parks to ride it. I hear
it
it's phenomenal.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Here might be their best ride.
Yes.
So.
I think it is. I mean, we like roller coasters, which I didn't know that my kids were going to like roller coasters because
sure.
we've never taken them to a theme park before.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about them. They're very adventurous.
You know, Disney roller coasters for roller coasters
right.
are relatively tame.
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. So they're meant for family fun. They're
right.
not thrill seeker rides. All right. So Rise of Resistance was a highlight. Any other highlights?
The kids built droids.
Okay.
And then Shelby went to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and had her hair done and makeup done and her nails painted by the fairy godmother, which was super cute. And then I wasn't with the boys, but they went and made lightsabers. Apparently that was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Am I a weird person that I just have like zero interest in Disney World or Disneyland? Like,
no.
That just is like not my jam.
I mean, you can do that. I mean, you can be wrong.
Yeah.
You can sit there and be wrong.
Dole Whip is also life-changing.
Dole Whip.
Dole Whip's amazing. I was like, what?
Is Dole Whip a Disneyland thing? Or
yeah.
It, yeah?
I mean, I'm sure you can make your own.
It's like a pineapple thing.
It's a pineapple soft serve.
But it's like served at Disney.
It's a specially made thing for Disney,
yes.
for Disney parks.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, or at least the two in America. I don't know if Disney France has a...
Euro Disney, yeah.
Yes, has a Dole Whip or Disney China.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's yummy.
All right, let's get on here. We're going to have got some news today.
Do, 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 do.
Are you familiar with hoverboards?
Yes.
The ones that, like, blow up?
Yeah, they do blow up. Yeah, so in the Back to the Future 2, there was a hoverboard, which
right.
was a levitating board. And
yeah.
now it was called a hoverboard, and now we have hoverboards now.
But they're
not
real.
They're
not
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not a levitating board. They're just
no.
a little thing on wheels that moves automatically. Do your kids have one, Katie?
No.
All right. Have you ever been on one?
No.
Me neither.
Scared.
I
will fall.
Not scared, but I've never been on one. But you stand on it like a skateboard, right? Like it's a...
Oh, well, I mean, a skateboard, you kind of stand, you know, you're
sideways.
Sideways on it. And this one, you're standing straight on.
Okay,
right?
So it's
so.
More like a Segway without the
correct.
Handles.
I would say that would be most accurate.
Okay.
Yeah, so hoverboards, they do kind of explode sometimes or catch
sure.
on fire. Hey. All in the name of fun, right?
That's right. Power can be advanced technology if we're not willing to blow a few things up.
Yes. I also have never been on a hoverboard. Yeah, not scared, but also I'm aware of my mortality, I guess, like now in a greater sense than I was younger. And not just like I would die, but like I could fall down and hurt myself badly.
Yes.
And
you
I
would
don't
almost
wanna,
definitely get injured.
And I don't
want
to deal
broken.
With that. Like,
yeah.
So it's not like I'm scared of it. I just don't want to be hurt. Yeah.
Yep, I'm scared.
Well, all right, a dentist
Oh.
Right.
Are you an anti-dentite?
I'm not an anti... Well, I'm anti this. A dentist was filmed extracting a tooth while on a hoverboard.
Wait, the tooth was on the hoverboard or the dentist was on the hoverboard?
The dentist is on the hoverboard doing dental surgery.
So he's like standing next to the chair.
Just hoverboarding
on
it
on
up.
On his hoverboard.
Yeah.
But he's not like, you know, two hoverboards like going down the road together and like doing
like,
it
like, yeah, no. The patient was unconscious during
okay.
this or put under, had no idea that it was happening. He was also filming himself to send this video to his bros.
Sure.
Like, look
yeah.
at me.
Check this out.
Look how cool
pull
I am.
Tooth
on,
well,
how do you feel if you walk into the dentist office, your dentist is there on a hoverboard,
nope.
just hovering on in?
I'm out.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm not about that.
I'm walking out of that office and I'm going to the
I mean, I remember when I had the kids, like, well, we had C-sections with both of them, but I remember being in the operating room and I know, like, surgeons put on, like, jams that they like
yeah.
while they're doing surgery, which is... I'm all about that. Like, cool. If that
sure.
is going to relax you,
are you saying, like,
cutting into
pajamas
me,
or songs?
No, jams. Like,
brother
songs. No, cool songs or whatever. They went, you know. But that, nope, I'm good. No,
okay.
No hoverboard. No movement while you're doing
it.
Like,
you didn't want your C-section doctor to hover on in and
no.
put on their favorite jams?
No.
Now, let me question. Would there be a jam that they played that you'd be like, I feel uncomfortable with this?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
Like a death metal, you know, like how would you feel?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like, are there certain songs that would be particularly appropriate for certain surgeries? Like,
sure.
It seems like the Lion King theme would be appropriate for a C-section.
Yeah, or any song with baby in the
right.
You know,
that's
time,
right.
I guess.
That may be. But then, like, if you're getting like a shoulder replaced, like,
yeah.
what jam would you want for a shoulder surgery?
Shoulder surgery? Yeah, that's a good question. I'm gonna make a note here to mark this time, and I'm gonna think about it.
Because Patrick will come up with something.
Yeah, I would say Lean on Me. You know, that
okay,
would be a good
yeah,
one.
That'd
yeah,
be a good
so,
one. Yeah. I think we've got a market here. We can release our own Beyond Sunday playlist
yeah.
for all of your
Doc
surgeries.
Jams.
Doc jams.
Doc jams.
We've got your heart surgeries. We've got your shoulder replacements.
Sure.
As
yeah.
long as it's not bye 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 and sink, I'm good. Like,
bow,
staying
bow,
alive.
Bow. Another one bites the dust.
My goodness.
All right, so yeah, I'm not on board with dentist on hoverboard. I'm already kind of not on board with dentist already. I do
on
not.
Hoverboard is not increasing.
I don't like the dentist. I don't want dental surgeries pretty much ever. I go, again, out of knowledge of my own mortality.
Okay.
Clean teeth is a healthier body.
Sure.
Yes.
It's connected to heart health somehow.
So they tell me.
Yeah, are there any other professions that you walk in and that person is on a hoverboard that you'd be like, okay, I think I'm done here?
Other people, I think if I walked in and saw a pastor on a hoverboard, I'd walk out.
Okay, you don't
know. I think that would be so cool.
We're not on the same page.
You just
here.
Hover on out.
I mean,
especially if you have like a long flowing robe and you can't even see the hoverboard.
So
you're
just
floating,
gliding
out.
Yeah, if it was like a sermon illustration or something like that, like I'd be fine with that. But
okay.
if it's like the pastor's like, no, I just...
Yeah.
Around the church all the day.
No. I feel like meeting my
We're
attorney
not on the same page here.
And he's hovering, he hovers into the courtroom. I'm like, okay, this is probably not going to go well for me.
Yeah. I'd probably be uncomfortable if the President of the United States ever showed up on a hoverboard.
Yeah.
Other than like in a photo op thing, if he was like,
right.
no, I'm just going to hover
sure.
around. I'm going to hover into this G8.
President Trump hovering in.
Yeah, any president. I don't, yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's, take your pick.
Yeah, he's pretty old, so I don't really see him. Hovering,
yeah.
you
he's,
know.
He's probably aware of his own mortality and not
is
wanting
he,
to. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
It's another conversation.
Well, he was found guilty on 46 counts. So
46 counts of what? Malpractice?
46 counts of malpractice. And
okay.
he filmed a surgery without a patient's
sure.
consent.
Right.
Posted it out there. He pled not guilty to this. His lawyer did apologize to the patient on his behalf.
What?
Which seems a little...
He pleads not guilty and the lawyer...
And the lawyer says, I'd like to
wait.
Apologize for my patient, for
how
my client.
How does that work when you have it on video? Like, how
yeah.
can you be not guilty?
Excellent. Well, he was not guilty. He was guilty on
right.
46 counts.
I mean,
he just pled not guilty.
Interesting.
The patient remarks, it's crazy. Yeah, I don't agree with that one. So,
right.
like, that seems pretty
not
accurate. Either. That is crazy.
Yeah.
She did not consent. Her response to him in the courtroom was, you could have made better choices. And I think that's underselling like this.
That's such a mom response. Like that is absolutely the
yeah.
conversation that I had with my mother anytime I got in trouble. I was like,
mm-hmm.
David, you could have made better choices.
Yeah. I do not believe.
Now I can come back with mom. At least I didn't film myself on a hoverboard doing dental surgeries.
At least for you, though, hoverboard is probably not the main offense. The dental surgery without a license probably is going to be the main one. Yes. Yeah, all right. I can't see. Maybe we need to. Let's try this out Sunday morning. Get some hoverboards.
Sure.
All of us will just hoverboard around the church.
Nope.
Yeah. You could.
I'm out.
I do like the idea of like being able to like have the robe long enough that I can just like glide in and people don't know that I'm on the hoverboard. That's kind of a fun idea.
Yeah, especially when you get like a fog machine going and you're just hands out.
That'd be great.
All right, let's move on here. All right, we're going to talk.
Like a good plan.
Yeah, this seems great. Let's hover on.
Onward.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Sabbath today.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you're unfamiliar with the term Sabbath, it usually means to reference to the seventh day of the week or a day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of connotations to that. It goes back to the beginning of the creation story. We're on the seventh day.
Not the end of the creation story.
Well, it's the beginning of the Bible.
Okay.
Beginning of the Bible.
But not the beginning of the creation story.
Okay. End of the, well, you know, the end of the creation story in Genesis then. Seventh day, God rested, and also in that commands mankind to do that as well, to rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Becomes one of the Israelite rules, is to rest on the seventh day. All right, before we get to kind of how we're experiencing Sabbath, we have an article here to look at.
All right, what do we got?
By friend of the podcast.
Ooh.
Yes.
Former guest
of the podcast,
yeah.
David Hansen, who was on back in, September.
A while ago.
Yeah.
While I was gone.
Yes.
So August, September, something.
So he's written an article for LEAD, which is Lutheran Resources. I think it's an acronym for Live Every Day as a Disciple. I think that's what it is.
Something like that.
But it kind of, it plays fast and loose as an acronym.
Right.
Because every day is also in there. Where's this extra D?
I don't know. Yeah.
But LEAD.
But they do resources for churches to help discipleship and things like that. Yeah.
All right. So this article, 7 Signs of Ministry Burnout.
Uh-oh.
And so this is not just for, I think, church workers, which the three of us are.
Sure.
I think our understanding of the Christian vocational ministry is when you become a Christian and a follower of Jesus, you are part of ministry.
Right.
You have a vocational aspect of that, and that in God's infinite wisdom and calling, he's calling some to be church workers, some to be lawyers, some to be dentists, some to manufacture hoverboards, all those things.
I'm not sure that one's true.
There are manufacturers.
The Lord works in mysterious ways. Yes. All right, and so whatever you are, that is part of your vocational calling.
Exactly.
So this ministry burnout isn't just for church workers. It's also where are you in fulfilling this calling that you have from
Absolutely.
God?
Yeah, you can experience burnout in any of those places.
Sure. And so this is directly tied into a spiritual aspect, though, not just like, oh, I'm really tired of doing my job. And I need a new career.
Right.
One of the things, we'll take a look at
like
these.
Are we going to have like a true confessions checklist for us as a staff right now?
Oh.
Like how many of these are we experiencing?
You know,
I might be a little too honest.
We might. So, Katie, you've been in professional church work for what? Three years? 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, your 3-year anniversary.
Coming up on my 3-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Happy early anniversary.
Thanks.
So, Katie, as around the table, you have the least amount of time in professional ministry.
Yes.
And so we can say maybe, have you experienced these things ever in your professional ministry?
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
All right, so number one, I'm only doing the minimum. All right, so this would be I'm settling for good enough. I find myself walking into meetings, ministries, underprepared, and here it is. It's kind of like I put in work, but clearly not to the capable level that I'm capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So have you experienced this, do you think, in your professional ministry or your vocational ministry as a teacher?
I have. I've got a story about mine. I don't know.
Sure.
So my personality is that I always go over.
So Katie's not experienced
sure.
this one.
But I will say, when I was teaching in the year I was pregnant with Shane, I cut back a lot on what I was doing. So it wasn't still necessarily the bare minimum of my job, but I wasn't taking on as much just because I couldn't at the time. I just felt like, you know, I'm pregnant, very pregnant, and I don't want to take on anymore. I can't do anymore. And so I let some things go, which was hard for me, but also okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, you have a story.
Yeah, so, well, I worked at camp for a number of summers, and I would say that this happened pretty routinely around week 7 or 8. So we had 9 or 10 week summers for the most part, and usually week 7 or 8, that's when we would get the talk from our directors reminding us not to do these things because they would see it happening. And you've done the same Bible studies now 6 or 7 times. You've done the same songs hundreds of times, the same skits a number of times. And, you know, the talk that they would always have is, you know, this is your kid, whoever's coming this week, this is their first week of camp.
Yeah.
You can't act like this is their 100th time doing this. And so we'd have to turn that around. But, yeah, I've definitely felt that because you're just exhausted and you're doing the same things and it becomes routine. And it's just, you're kind of like, okay, I can phone this Bible study in. I don't have to put all my effort into it.
As a summer camp director, I've given that talk. I get it. Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely identify parts and times of my ministry, including maybe even songs right now. Not to say I'm doing the minimum in my work, but there's, as we take on new responsibilities or engaging in something like that's a new way to be creative, sometimes old things were like, this gets pushed more to the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's sometimes in ministry or in your vocational life, you're saying, well, how can I recapture the excitement I have for the things I do weekly or the things that have become easy and commonplace, and maybe the people that I work with don't even really know I'm doing the minimum. I've gotten to a place of competency that just showing up, I can fake it till I make it a little bit, and nobody is none the wiser. Or at least I think nobody is none the wiser.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think that can be definitely a detriment, especially, you know, in church work or in your vocational ministry, this idea of like, well, I've done it so much, it's easy to kind of say, I like exploring new ways to be creative. And so I'm the weekly or the monthly, you know, tasks that I'm given, those things are falling more to the side. All right, well, let's move on here. My spiritual health sucks.
Mm.
Oh.
Okay, so working in ministry or working in this vocational ministry, and my own spiritual health is not very good. All right, where do we feel? Have we experienced this in our own lives at any time?
I felt this during seminary.
Yeah.
At a variety of points. Because, I mean, particularly in seminary, you're spending, you know, all of your day studying the Bible or studying theology or studying ministry, but you're not doing anything to care for your own spiritual welfare.
Yeah.
If that makes it, like, you know, the act of reading the Bible is not always spiritually fulfilling. Sometimes you're reading it for other purposes or having to write papers about it. That's a different practice. And so I definitely have felt that during seminary and at other, you know, points periodically through my ministry time,
Yeah, me too. I can definitely identify with these things. One of the things I think I've mentioned on the podcast before is that sometimes as a church worker or vocational ministry, it's easy to confuse serving God as time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to confuse preparing a Bible study or a devotion as being in Bible study or devotion. And those things are not synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it can be difficult, you know, even from a pastoral position, and maybe you've figured out some secrets, but I'm sure for some pastors, it's hard to say, I lead worship, so it's hard for me to experience worship, because I'm never not leading it on a Sunday morning, and that's part of my task.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be part of it, too. You do so much time doing, you don't get a lot of time being or in these types of moments. So what about if you're in a not a church work environment? How can this be translated into where you are?
I think our spiritual health is translated into whatever our position is, right? Regardless of what our vocational setting is, our spiritual health is going to matter. And so how are we taking times to spend time in devotion and in worship and in Bible study for ourselves or with a community? I think we often underplay that fact within the Lutheran Church in particular, right? I think the Lutheran Church has this long history of, well, come to church on Sundays and you'll get what you need for the week, which, yeah, that's good. Come to church on Sundays, but also that's not going to give you everything that you need. And there are places where we need to have that time for Bible study and for community and for fellowship. And, you know, you may or may not find those things at the place where you are working, but there are ways to find those things.
And I think just interacting with the world in general, not necessarily in a church building, can be worship.
Sure.
And I think that you can be spiritually fed every day in different, regardless of where you work or who you're with. That happens every day for me. So it's not necessarily that I need this hour or I need this Bible study for this hour. And for some people, it may be that. But I think it's your daily interactions with people, with the world around you, in which you can strengthen your spirituality.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, right, if you have like, if you have a pattern of, oh, you know, anytime I'm driving to work, I've got like a half an hour or whatever, I'm driving to work, and I take that time to pray or to talk to God or to just be in, just to be quiet. I turn off the radio, I turn off whatever, and I'm just quiet and still with God as I'm driving. If that's a pattern for you and that pattern starts to fade or you start to find yourself turning things on more or finding ways to distract yourself during that time, that's probably a sign that something's going on with your spiritual health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, if I'm spending an hour a week in church and hours a week on Facebook and hours a week watching cable news and hours a week distracting myself from my life, then yeah, I could say that because these are big warning flags of maybe your spiritual life is really not where it should be.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that you've gone to church every Sunday this year.
Yeah.
You know, that those are the things. Okay, so number three here, I'm not growing. All right, so this is, I think, an interesting place and an interesting
level.
I've
been the same height for like 15 years.
Yeah,
I'm in trouble.
I'm growing one way.
Growing the wrong.
Not vertically. but this is going to be tied to this idea, and if we tie first into church work, this idea of I am not learning new things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of doing the same things that we've been doing because those are the things we know how to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to find ways to seek out new resources to make me a better leader, better minister, better blank.
Yeah.
And so in the secular world or in your vocational ministry, listeners, maybe this is, I'm not seeking out ways to be better at my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is this idea of I'm not growing.
Yeah.
So how do we feel about this? Where have you experienced this in your professional or ministry life?
Yes. So I've obviously taught longer than I have being the director of children's ministry here at Lord of Life. But something I think that education does well, the education system, is that it requires teachers every year to have a certain number of hours of professional development.
Yeah.
So that was 30 to 50 hours a year in the district I worked with before. And it always brought new ideas of how to teach kids, ways to interact, and make learning fun. And I loved that. I loved being able to adapt what I already was doing to better serve kids.
Yeah.
And I know that here at Lord of Life, we have, you know, times where we can go and get further education and further spiritual development and all of that kind of stuff. But I do think that the education world does a great job of mandating, really, teachers to go and explore new ways of teaching and new ways of engagement with kids.
Sure. I think the challenge there, and because, you know, as a pastor, there are expectations of me to do something or to do similar things. We don't enforce it in the same way the school system does, but there's that expectation from our leadership as well. But I think that's really a privilege of those types of positions.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of people who are in vocations where either that's not an offer that's being made to them, or they're being told to do it, but are not in any way being compensated for their time or for the growth that's happening out of that. And so I think that is, you know, it's a double-edged area where, you know, it's really great that we've had those opportunities to take that and that some professions do and then other professions do not have that same opportunity.
Right.
But even if you don't have that opportunity, I think there are ways to be challenging yourself and seeking out new opportunities both in your profession, but also in your spiritual life, right? You know, I think one of the struggles that we have, because growing, if you're thinking about spiritual burnout from a vocational perspective, growing is going to involve experiencing new ideas and new ways of thinking about God, about the Bible, about the world around you that you may or may not agree with, but encountering those ideas and wrestling with some of those, that's going to be part of that process. But I think most of us want to reach a point of homeostasis, right? Where we're like, okay, I now know enough and I can just kind of stay right here and my knowledge about God can stay the same. Whereas that's not really the call of the vocational journey. The vocational journey calls us to continue to learn new things and change and be molded.
And I think a lot of that too goes into what is happening in your own life. Like, I think there are moments in your life that happen that give you a deeper sense of faith and that make you grow spiritually. Should we always be on that journey? Sure.
Yeah.
But I think that there are certain moments that happen that really push you forward.
Yep.
And sometimes it does get stagnant. And then all of a sudden, something happens in your own life that challenges you or something that really just feels this is a gift of God or this is, you know, something that pushes you forward in your spirituality.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you're, you know, a listener and you go to a church, you can see is my church growing? And this doesn't mean like, is it getting bigger?
Right.
But are they trying new things? Are they willing to explore?
Mm-hmm.
Or is every year we're kind of pulling out what we did the year before because it's just what we know?
Yeah.
And
right.
I think those are the signs of a church that's in this kind of ministry burnout, of a church that says like, we don't really know how to do anything different.
Right.
And we're I'm not going to say unwilling, but we are scared to try or scared to say, to risk that growth. So sometimes that can happen, not just for individuals, but for organizations and things like that. All right, let's move on here because we can keep talking about each one of these for a long time. I'm resentful towards others. All right, so what do we think about this?
So I experienced this at one particular time in my ministry. I was resentful towards a particular person that was involved in the ministry, and that it was a sign that I was really going through some difficult stuff at the time. This is several years past. This is before I came here, it's really tough, and it's one that at least from my perspective, and this is how I experienced that, I didn't realize how resentful I was until 2 or 3 years later.
Yeah,
looking back, like in the moment, I wasn't resentful. I was justified in being angry at this person.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there were things that I was justifiably angry about, but also I was dealing with that in a very resentful way rather than turning it over to God, or rather than dealing with it directly or handling it in a mature spiritual pattern. I was just choosing to hold on to that resentment and just let that kind of eat at me.
Yeah, I think for this one, you know, a phrase that I've heard that I do like, if you meet one person a day and they're a jerk, well, they're probably a jerk. If everyone you meet in the day is a jerk, well, then you're the jerk. So that may be a good sign of like, am I growing resentful of every interaction or I'm walking away from feeling negative about the person that I just spoke with or interacted with or had that conversation with? There's something wrong inside of me. It's not just the world around me. That I have these things that I need to be working on. And so sometimes those things, like you mentioned, can be very hard to see in ourselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully you have a spouse, a coworker, a brother, a family member that can say, hey, you are not happy right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And when people tell you that, I'm going to tell you, you should trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't feel they're right, you should trust them, because that's a risky thing to say to somebody. You don't seem happy. And so you should say, like, well, why don't I seem happy to the people around me?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this is something that can happen in ministry, happen in every job, where it's easy to get frustrated, especially if I'm only doing the minimum, my health sucks, I'm not growing, and I see that in others, that they're doing the things I wish I was. It's easy to be resentful and to blame them for my lack of growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those things happen. All right, number 5, my physical health sucks. This one's a little, wow, number 5.
Yeah.
Being attacked over here.
I will say there are points in ministry where I realized I pushed, like, for the first 3 years that I was in professional ministry, every year after Christmas and after Easter, I would get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have this year gotten to a point where I did not get sick after Christmas. I'm going to.
Congratulations.
That's right. I'm aiming to not get sick after Easter. That's the goal. And so those were not moments of burnout for me, because those were things that I was passionate and enjoyed. Like, I was not regretting that I did those things, but they were points where I was pushing myself to the point where my body could not keep up anymore. And so there have definitely been those kinds of moments.
Absolutely. I remember I taught music. And every single time, I would get sick.
Yeah.
It was either 2 days before the show or 2 days after the show. I was sick at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, every time, just because I would get so stressed out about it before it happened.
Yeah.
And some of the things that Pastor David Hansen mentions here that I think are good, because it's not just about like, well, I'm not in the same shape I was 20 years ago. And that's just a fact of life.
Facts.
You know, and so this would be, you know, if you're experiencing chronic exhaustion, insomnia, drastic changes in your diet, headaches, digestive problems, these are signs that maybe your physical health is not where it should be. And this isn't...
Also signs that you have an infant. That's
These
things go hand in hand.
Sure.
I listened to that off, I was like, uh-oh.
So this isn't like you need to go to the gym more. This is, okay, but because my inside is not connected to God, or it's not right, it's manifesting itself in the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so these are things to look for.
Yeah.
Either I'm way overeating or I'm way undereating. Those things should be there.
Going to the gym might be one healthy alternative.
Correct.
But it's not necessarily, oh, I need to go lift weights.
Yeah.
Because I'm week.
Number six, I'm withdrawing from the people I love.
Withdrawing from the people I love?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever had this one in burnout personally. I think it's a legitimate thing. I've seen it happen for others. It's just not one that I've experienced.
Yeah, I can certainly say and I think I spoke about this before. I'm an introvert, and so it's very easy for me to retreat into an internal world
mm-hmm.
for healing and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be a sense of withdrawing.
Sure.
So it's easy for me to take my stress of my work life or my home life, retreat that into my own insides, and not be able to vocalize those things or to talk about those things to, like, my wife, my coworkers,
mm-hmm.
my friends, people who care about me. And so I can say, yeah, I can experience this withdrawal from the people I love, because that's me saying, well, I'm super stressed and I just don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Can be part of that withdrawal. And so I think that that isolation is easy, especially maybe if you're an introvert and you're naturally predisposed to want to live in your own internal
mm-hmm.
world a little bit. So for me, I get that. I can certainly picture these things in my own life.
I mean, I do. I don't know that withdrawal is the right word for me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know, like, when I am stressed or when things are not going peachy, that I can become not very nice at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that about myself. But I also have a family who calls me out on it, my kids included, who are like, Mama, you have had a bad day. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You are correct. So it's something that we work through when I'm cranky.
Sure. Well, if you're taking out work frustration onto your loved ones or family,
right.
this is that.
Right.
I mean,
absolutely.
This is taking my vocational ministry is not going the way I want to,
mm-hmm.
and I'm bringing that home,
mm-hmm.
and my spouse is feeling the brunt of that.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a withdrawal. I mean,
yes.
whether
yes.
it's not like I'm not
it's,
talking
right.
to you, this
it's
is
a different kind. Yeah.
I'm emotionally withdrawing from
yeah.
you.
And
this
that
is,
for sure happens.
This is something I don't. You know, I imagine that there are ways that you would do this in other vocations as well, but this is something Amanda and I have had to work through, because there are a lot of things that I have to deal with that I can't share with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go home and there are pastoral confidences that I have to keep and things like that, and so I can't talk about the things that are stressing me out or that are causing frustration.
Right.
And so we've gotten to the point where I just have to say, I have to admit, there's stuff going on, I can't talk about it, and you have to call, like, if I'm acting out, like, stuff is going on, you need to call me on it. And,
right.
and so we've gotten to that point where
yeah.
we can have those conversations so that I'm not withdrawing completely. Like, so she knows how to support me and how to care for
mm-hmm.
me in those moments. And so that other people around me, I have other outlets that I can talk about that. So I don't have to take that all to her.
Right.
All right. Finally, I'm not experiencing joy.
So I'm a very passionate person.
Really?
Katie.
So,
true confessions. Yeah.
I know. I find joy in a lot of things. And then there are things that I don't find joy in.
Sure.
But the thing, I mean, I like to think that I find joy in more things than things that don't bring me joy, if
yeah.
that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I like to do what I'm called to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, and I think I think joy is really important. I appreciate that it's joy and not happiness.
Yes.
I think joy is deeper than
yes.
just feeling happy all the time. But you know, if you're looking at your day to day, you might be going to work and work might not be fulfilling for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might be in a job where you have a boss who's not helping you or not encouraging you to grow. You might have a position that's just not what you want to be doing, or is
yeah.
not letting you use your gifts in the way that you want to be able to use your gifts. But can you still find joy? Like, can
mm-hmm.
you look at the sunset and
mm-hmm.
feel joy? Can you look at your family or at your home or at your pet or at your a chance to go for a walk or the meal that you prepared or the time to be in community on a Sunday morning? Can you look at those things and still say, this is good, even if there are things that are frustrating?
Mm-hmm.
Can you still remember that
yeah.
baseline of joy? And I think that's an important place for us to start.
Yeah, I really like that you mentioned that, because I've really only worked in professions that have a spiritual significance
sure.
or meaning attached to them directly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it's like to work a job that in a sense is just a job.
Yeah.
That it's
right.
a job that I work for 8 hours and I go home and it's done. I don't think about
right.
it. I don't care about it. And I just get a paycheck and that enables me to do the things that I want to do.
Right.
Right.
You know, so I'm sure some of our listeners have those jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's just a job.
Yeah.
And
that's okay.
And if they were, you know, wealthy beyond means, they would not do that job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You know, and so, but I do think that is even if you can't find joy in job, if you're not finding joy anywhere,
right.
this is a warning sign, as
yeah.
you mentioned. And, and I think it's hard to, because I think sometimes our culture right now is in a very cynical place
mm-hmm.
and a very place that is kind of everything's bad or at best the it's like a meh mentality.
Right.
And so it's hard for things to be like, be excited about the things in my
mm-hmm.
life is sometimes not celebrated by the people around us because everybody's a little cynical right now.
Right.
And so I'm an optimist. And so I like to be excited about things. I like to be joyful. I like to look at things with a new lens of saying, I'm really excited for this, even though I'm also a little bit of a...
realist?
A little bit of a grumpy person, I guess. You know, but I still have a lot of excitement and I love loving things. And so this makes it, you know, I'm hopeful is that people are finding things that they love and that they love loving.
Yes.
And that is whatever that is, whether that's I love cooking, I'm loving nature, I'm loving fitness, I'm loving walks, I'm loving family, whatever it is, and I love loving it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when those things are starting to diminish, that's the time to say, wow, what's really going on in my heart and my
yeah.
life right now?
Yeah, for sure.
And so then here we go. So these are our 7 signs of where you are, you know, here at that potentially could be warning flags of your own vocational
yeah.
ministry burnout.
Something to think about.
And so there you go. So here we have these 7 signs of spiritual burnout.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure some of our listeners who maybe say, well, I identify with a few of these or all of these. I want to say, what do I do? What's the solution? How do
yeah.
I get unburnt? You know, here we go.
Unburnt?
I'm burnt out. How do I get unburnt out?
What's
yes.
the spiritual aloe? Maybe that's what we're looking for.
Oh, the spiritual aloe, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, spending time in devotion, spending
mm-hmm.
time, intentional time with God in prayer, in
mm-hmm.
scripture,
yeah.
And finding ways to connect to community in those adventures, right? I mean, it's great if you have 15, 20 minutes, an hour every day to read silently in the Bible with you and God. That's fabulous,
mm-hmm.
but it's also of utmost importance that you find
yeah.
a way to connect with community and spirituality
because
yeah. mm-hmm. that's where people can challenge you and you can not just be in a soundbox of your own thoughts swirling around, but you can get insight from other people and wisdom from other people and encouragement from other people. And you don't know what wisdom and insight and encouragement you have to offer others.
Yeah.
You know, you've been going through stuff and that stuff is not without experience that you have now an opportunity to share to potentially benefit someone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in like a 12-step recovery process,
uh-huh.
step one is admitting you have a problem.
Sure.
And so maybe I think for some of these things, I'm experiencing these things is finding somebody to admit
mm-hmm.
I'm experiencing burnout with
mm-hmm.
and saying like, I am not the person that I want to be right now. And I'm not
right.
experiencing the joy, the love, the physical health, the spiritual health that I want and that I've experienced in the past. And I'm here in this valley. And that may be the first step to recovery in a sense,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
Because voicing it, especially to another person, makes it real. It
yeah.
doesn't make it a problem that just is lingering inside you. Now it's exposed to the air and it has to be resolved
right.
in a sense. And so I think that can be the first step is finding those people that you can voice these things to
mm-hmm.
and having this time of like, I recognize that I'm withdrawing from people I love and that might be you and I'm
yeah.
sorry
yeah.
and I don't want to do that, so let's help find solutions
right.
together, you know. So I think that and I hope that you have people in your life that are going to sit and find solutions together with you
mm-hmm.
and if you don't for where you are, find new people
right.
you know, go to a church that can be those people, and if your church isn't, I hate to say this, find a new church
mm-hmm.
you know
right.
find a new spiritual community. If they can't take care of you, other groups could.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other things that we can do in this? I'm experiencing burnout. What do I do about it?
Take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sometimes just pulling away and thinking about it, praying about it, just getting away for
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah.
I think the other major piece, right, we mentioned this at the beginning, is finding Sabbath
yeah.
and taking Sabbath seriously in a more intentional way than we typically do in our current culture. And I think that's something that we'll talk about on a future episode at some point, and spending
yeah.
some time really diving into what Sabbath means and what Sabbath can look like. Because Sabbath is more than just, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and that's
mm-hmm.
Sabbath. And Sabbath is more than just, I'm going to
go not, take a nap.
Yeah, well, it's more than I'm going to take a nap, and it's right. more than just I'm not going to, you know, cook today, or I'm not going to drive.
Sure.
It's more than that. And
it's more than, or it's more than a vacation.
It's more
yeah.
than a vacation, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, and I think that that's a great place to say, to point to is we will kind of address this thing. We realized, hey, we're a little long today, so and I think we have some neat things to say about that. But it is funny that one of the commands of God is to rest, and it's one that we are oftentimes be like, yeah, but do you really mean that, God? You know, like, and so it's very easy to be in that place. And so we will take a look at Sabbath specifically
mm-hmm.
at a future podcast
yeah.
to kind of take a look at those things. So my hope for all of us is that our listeners, us professionally and personally, aren't experiencing these signs, but in reality, you will. If you're not experiencing these now, you will.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the human condition. These things pop up,
mm-hmm.
and they pop up sometimes often.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you do any job long enough, the creativity and the excitement of it can wane.
Yeah.
And so what happens then?
And that job might include being a parent.
Sure.
Or being a sibling.
Or a spouse.
Or
yeah.
being the child of an aging parent. Or,
yes.
you know, I mean, those are all places where we can experience that burnout, too. Like,
yeah.
let's not, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not just in your professional
right.
world, but
right.
in your personal world, too. Yeah, and so it's okay. We want to say that first. It's
yeah.
okay to experience these things.
Yes.
You are not alone, and there are ways to seek out help through finding rest in God, through voicing these to others, and through intentional Sabbath, which will hopefully... you'll get to hear about it in a future episode. Well,
yeah.
you will, but
yeah.
maybe next week, maybe the week after, but
we'll
it is coming, yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for listening this week. All right, where can you find us?
Hey, if you liked what you heard today, you can find this article at waytolead.org.
Way to Lead.
Waytolead.org. You can find this and other resources from the Lead organization. You can find us at beyondsundaypodcast.com, where you can find all of our latest episodes and other exciting material that's there. Of course, you can check us out on Facebook, where we are continuing our New Year's resolution to be putting out kind of twice a month more video stuff. It's going to be on our Facebook page. Last week, Patrick and I had a conversation about some news that we missed while we were on a bit of a break over the holidays.
Yeah.
So be sure to check out the Facebook page and see what's going on there. Beyond Sunday Podcast on Facebook.
Yeah, we hope some of that video content will be silly or funny. We hope. We also hope that it could be spiritually moving or informative.
Yeah.
We also hope.
Yeah.
But we also hope trying to engage our audience in different unique ways. Find those things beneficial to you.
Absolutely. So you can find us wherever delightfully dressed podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all the places.
Yes.
And be sure to write, review, and share it with your neighbors and friends and anybody you think might be experiencing burnout.
This is a black tie podcast.
Yes.
So yeah.
I'm wearing a black tie.
We're
are
very
you
formal.
Not wearing a black tie?
Yes. Yes. I'm wearing a black tie, but it's not a collared shirt.
Right. Obviously.
Yeah. So it is a delightfully dressed podcast.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next week.